their accounts electronically using online banking, mobile check deposit, online bill pay, and more. First Bank, the one who's here.
In local weather today, expect rain with a high near 47 degrees and southeast winds between 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, periods of rain mainly after 1 a.m., low around 40, and southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. And tomorrow, which is Tuesday, expect periods of rain mainly before 1 p.m., with a high near 52 degrees and southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. In local news, One People Canoe Society visited Wrangell in early spring. Three instructors taught residents how to make traditional Tlingit paddles. Each person worked on their paddle over the three-day weekend at Wrangell's High School wood shop. This class was the kickoff for the journey to Celebration, where a group of paddlers will canoe from Wrangell to Juneau at the end of May and early June. It is the largest gathering of Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian people. KSTK sends this audio postcard.
We're just getting started.
So you guys all know each other already. I'm Doug. This is Jim. This is Frank. And we're the ones that are here to help you guys out and show you how we do what we're doing. Now, the type of paddle that we're going to be doing is a more contemporary style. I'll step back for a minute and let you guys dig through and find your board. Then once everybody has a board, then we'll go from there to the next step.
I'm Chuck Jenkins. This is the first time I've taken this class to learn how to make a paddle. So when they go on their journey to Juneau, you know, they can use the paddle. I've always been interested in woodworking and stuff, so it's learning how to make, you know, a Tlingit paddle is pretty neat.
I'm Jim Zeller. I'm with the One People Canoe Society, and I've been traveling around making these paddles with Doug Chilton since 2008. Every paddle workshop is amazing. It's enjoyable. It's a good time. There's always something, and you always meet new people, and you always meet great new people. I'm a skipper of the Raven Canoe, and we've taken that canoe all over Southeast Alaska, all over the Puget Sound, and Doug Chilton also took this canoe to Standing Rock.
Traditionally, the canoes, the dugout canoes, were steamed and spread open. So when you steam it and spread it open, they get wider on the middle, and then they also get closer to the water on the middle, which also brings the ends up. So the way, in the old days, the way they used to determine the length of the paddle was based on where you sit in the canoe.
Hi, I'm Diane Simpson. I'm going to be here for the whole thing and then probably go to paddle to Juneau and do that. That's so interesting. I've never done it before.
Hi, I'm Cindy Kilpatrick. I'm interested in the whole canoe culture, and it's a great opportunity to learn how to create.
Yeah. Oh, hi, I'm Renata. Oh, I just came with my grandson, and I was interested to see how it was done. I'm going to try to attempt to make a paddle, and hopefully it'll look pretty on my wall.
How do you do? I'm Melissa Mills. I just moved to Alaska from Virginia a couple months ago. I'm enjoying learning more about the culture and learning more about things to do as far as the water and the boats.
I am Mark Simpson. My sister Becky Simpson had passed away, and I came up from Oregon. I seen that they're advertising this, so I signed up for it and placed on my sister.
Okay, that's the last cut, then we're ready to move to the next step. Okay, the reason I'm doing this in these steps like this is so you guys can see, if you decide you want to make one later on, you know what the steps are, right?
That was the One People Canoe Society's paddle making workshop held in March at the Wrangell High School wood shop. In regional news, measles was once nearly eliminated in the United States, but there have already been 7 measles outbreaks in the country this year. That's nearly twice as many as all of last year. In Petersburg, the school district is taking its first steps in case the highly contagious disease reaches town. KFSK's Hannah Floor reports.
Thank you.
It's hard to miss the measles vaccination table at Petersburg's kindergarten registration night in late April. It's just a few feet from the line of kids excitedly picking up their orientation booklets. Petersburg and Wrangell's public health nurse, Erin Michael, is at the table. She's here just in case someone wants to get their kids a quick measles, mumps, and rubella, or MMR, vaccine. The table is part of a plan that came together just the day before.
I reached out to the school district and to the daycares and to the medical center and said, we're seeing an increase across the lower 48, and I really would like to talk about this and what it might look like for the daycares and for the schools.
Michael says with air travel, a case could come to town at any time. Measles is one of the world's most contagious diseases. If one person has it, up to 90% of the people close to that person who are not immune will also get it. Measles droplets can hang in the air for a couple hours after a person has walked through, which makes contact tracing incredibly difficult. And measles isn't just your common cold. About 1 in 5 unvaccinated people in the United States who get measles is hospitalized. But Michael says most of us have no idea how serious the disease is. We haven't seen the effects because vaccines nearly wiped it out in the U.S.
It can cause things like brain swelling, encephalitis, which can be deadly for people. It can also cause blindness, deafness. It's one of those that it's not something you want to mess around with.
It can also cause brain damage and other lifelong disabilities. So Michael really wants to make sure as many people are vaccinated as possible.
Prevention is going to be the biggest thing. If we can get people vaccinated, that's going to be our easiest, lowest hanging fruit.
But outbreaks have been slowly increasing over the last couple decades.
There have been a growing vaccine hesitancy for people. Less people are getting their children fully vaccinated, which means diseases that we previously thought were eradicated are now coming back, which is very unfortunate.
The MMR vaccine has been around for roughly half a century. Michael says there's a lot of evidence that the vaccine is extremely safe and extremely effective. Toddlers get their first vaccination when they're around a year old. The second dose usually comes after they're 4. To reach herd immunity, where so many people are vaccinated or immune that it's hard for a disease to spread, 95% of people need to be fully vaccinated against measles. But the Petersburg School District doesn't know how many kids have gotten both shots yet.
Right now we're working on looking at our vaccinations, making sure that our records are up to date.
That's Nicole Mattingly. She's a registered nurse contracting with the district. She says she's going through the vaccination records of every kid enrolled in Petersburg schools.
We'll reach out to the kids who don't have an MMR vaccine on file. And so my focus is just going to be identifying those kiddos and making sure that their parents or decision makers have the information that they need to make an informed decision.
She says some families just miss a vaccination because they're busy and things fall through the cracks. And some kids can't get an MMR vaccine for medical reasons. Maybe they have a suppressed immune system due to cancer treatment. Those kids are allowed to get a medical exemption. The state of Alaska also allows for a religious exemption. To get one, parents must sign paperwork stating that the immunization conflicts with their church or religion. Mattingly says she's looking for all 3 situations. Superintendent Erica Klutpainter says besides figuring out vaccination numbers in the schools, she's hoping to get as much information about measles to parents as possible. She says a parent's decision to forgo vaccination might be different with the current outbreaks.
I would just hope that people could have really good information. Not to create a fear-mongering kind of thing, but just that if they could have really good information, because it sounds like there's some pretty significant, you know, respiratory pieces, even some neurological things that can happen, and then, of course, people can die.
Klutpainter says the district doesn't yet have a plan should measles cases pop up in Petersburg schools. She says they would start by following the guidelines given by the Center for Disease Control. Alex Huseman is with the Alaska Department of Health. She says they are closely monitoring the measles outbreaks in the lower 48. In an email to KFSK, she wrote, quote, We continue to work with our partners to ensure we are prepared should a measles case happen in Alaska.
How are you?
Woo-hoo! Back in the elementary school, kids are getting used to the idea of kindergarten.
Here's Katie. This is Carol. We're your lunch ladies.
But none of them have taken a turn in Michael's vaccination station. That doesn't surprise her. Parents still have time to get the shots required before kids start school in the fall or file for an exemption. In the meantime, Michael says she'll keep planning for a possible measles outbreak. When she takes her monthly trip to Wrangell, she'll meet with the Wrangell School District, Head Start, and the Medical Center. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Floor.
And that wraps up our local segment. Stay with us for All Things Considered.
Support for NPR comes